This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's Ciso.
Hello and welcome to Seagull Social Season 4, Episode 38. This has been a mission to get this one started. Jack's on his hotspot in his phone, now he's on the internet. Maz has just lost the plot the whole time. And we've just drew to Burnley away. Yeah, it's been quite funny, but also if you don't laugh, you cry at one of them ones. Jack, Maz, how are you? Maz, I'll start with you.
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. I went to watch Spurs women versus Leicester women earlier. It was a bit of a Jack Albion-esque trip, really. one of those random sort of fixtures. But thoroughly enjoyable. Enjoyed my day. And then I went and did some hate watching when I watched Arsenal lose to Villa at the pub. So that was superb. Got to see a lot of Arsenal tears. So yeah, been a great day. Good. Thank you very much, Ben. How's your day been?
It's been working, mate. The grind never stops. Got to watch Liverpool and Arsenal bottle it. Got to see the sexy Xabi Alonso lift the Bundesliga. What else happened? I feel like loads of other stuff happened, but yeah. Some of the big topics happened today. And luckily it distracted me from the abysmal result that we got yesterday. But Jack, I went with you. I had the privilege of spending a good 10 to 12 hours with you yesterday in a beautiful place of Burnley. Isn't it, Jack? A lovely, lovely town.
Yeah. I think it's a bad reputation, doesn't it, really? But it's not the worst place I've ever been to in my life. Like,
I thought I was being sarcastic.
No, it's some nice, like, Lancashire, like, town. I think I was saying to you on the train up, I was going, like, it feels very Championship today, you know? It was like being back in a Championship where you all go to, like, a northern town and there's not many of you and it's a long train journey and... I don't know. I quite enjoyed it. But yeah, no, it's not the number one town in the world, is it? But I had a good day.
You did. It was mental, though. Like, obviously, we're getting to the game. But the most mental part about it, I think, was seeing all the asbestos on top of the roof, pointed out by your mate, Ollie Mover, or our friend.
Oh, yeah.
On the roof of the stadium. That's quite funny. And then as soon as Burnley scored, the heavens opened. It was just like a complete... otherworldly. It was mental.
That was weird.
It was so strange. I was like, well, there's no coming back from this. The players are going to get absolutely drenched and we're not going to come back. But it was weird. Yeah, no, Burnley is an experience of going there. I kind of wish I didn't. A lot of money. And then, unfortunately, like Jack, we don't get 100% off train fares and all that sort of stuff. So I wish we did for that. But
It's a rite of passage, Burnley. Like, you've got to do it there and back in the day on the train. It's like a learning experience for you as a Brighton fan, you know, and then getting a pretty bad result. You know, like I said, it's like back at the good old days. This is the stuff we live for.
It was an education because I had no idea Burnley was that far away. If Jack had tried selling me Burnley and told me how far away it was, I thought it was below Manchester, but it's way beyond
No.
I really wish I didn't go.
You sold you a dream, Ben.
He did. But at least I get to say I went to Turf Moor, though. It's a very cool stadium.
Get the ground ticked off.
It's a nice stadium. Maz, what were your general thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it lacked a quality, I'd say, all round in general. However, we looked decent in parts. And, you know, we created I suppose, at times. But yeah, I think generally it was a pretty poor game. I think I feel sorry for any neutral that tuned in to watch that, because yeah, it was
I don't think
watch.
Any did, to be fair, mate. So but you should be all right there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. I doubt anyone's streaming it aside from me. But for legal reasons, I didn't stream it. Of course, I would never do such a thing. Yeah, it was a completely legitimate stream, this one. Mm-hmm. Just to summarise, I think poor mistakes, obviously, both goals, heavily, heavily slapstick. The first goal, obviously ours, yeah, poor back pass from Belaba, and then Babarugan, yeah, kicks it onto a Burnley player and it goes in. And then, of course, we saw what happened to Muric in the Burnley goal. And we'll blame that on the weather, Ben. We'll blame that on the yeah. downpour.
Not forget it rained.
Tywood from AFTV. Yeah, let's not forget. It applies to both teams, but it's only Burnley. So, yeah.
And Jack, I think we joked about it being probably guaranteed last on Match of the Day. I didn't watch Match of the Day, so I couldn't tell you if it was, but I'm assuming it was. Did it deserve to even be on Match of the Day because it was that much of a rubbish game?
I'd have been shocked if it wasn't last. I don't know whether it was last because I didn't watch Match of the Day because I was on a train. But
Maybe purely for the Muric error, it would have been like second to last, potentially.
Second to last.
I did find it quite funny there where Maz took a long pause and just went, "It lacked quality," which kind of just sums it up, really. I mean, it was polite, Jack. Yeah, it lacked quality. It was disappointing. I think we've got to a stage in the season where it was a must win. It was disappointing that we didn't win it. I think this is how we're going to have a lot of the rest of the season, and a lot of it's going to come out like this. I mean, I know we should probably not be too disappointed, try to temper expectations. But yeah, it was a real shame. I think there was so much where we tried to do stuff that just wouldn't quite come off. We really lacked a cutting edge. Pedro, probably our most dangerous player, but even then he wasn't really firing on any cylinders. And then same with Adingra, he really didn't live up to much expectation. I don't think it helped that, you know, we had two fullbacks and, you know, God bless them, they try. But they're, you know, Igor and Veltman are not exactly the most dynamic fullbacks in the world, are they? Really good players, and I think they perform quite well, really, given the circumstances. But, you know, you can't exactly do overlapping runs with Igor and Veltman. So I think that didn't exactly help the situation. And I just think we've just lacked cutting edge, and we lacked it again, really. I think there's a bit of a curse.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Sorry, Jack. I was just going to say, what it reminded me of is, like, you know, the Potter era when we just couldn't score. Like, we'd sort of dominate possession, and we'd create in spells. I wouldn't say we created, like, the whole game yesterday, but we created in spells, and we looked, you know, dangerous at times. But yeah, we just had no cutting edge. And I felt like that, you know, at times under Potter, we had those periods, didn't we? Was it 15 games of that win, that period we had with Potter? Or something crazy like that? Mm. So yeah, it just reminded me a little bit of that yesterday. But yeah, sorry, Jack, carry on.
No, yeah, I agree with you. It was quite Potter-esque, wasn't it? Like I say, we lack the dynamicism that we've been used to. I do think we're just running out of steam a little bit. I did think this would happen at some point this season. Definitely with the European fixtures. So I'm disappointed because it sort of kills our chance of Europe. But I think I said to Ben in the pub when we were watching the Newcastle-Tottenham game, and when they went 4-0 up, I did sort of say to Ben, I just kind of went, that's us for Europe then. It felt a little bit like that game. If that game had ended with a loss, then we might have still been in with a chance. But it felt like as soon as that game was 4-0, it sort of, for me personally, I sort of felt like Europe's done, really.
Mm. I think I definitely agree. I think before the game, I said it was going to be, if we don't beat Burnley, then Europe's completely done. But it is definitely done now. And now I mean, it's going to be quite negative. I've got quite a few negative things to say, which is unfortunate. But now it's like, we really need to not finish like 12th, for example, because that would be, it'd be respectable finishing 10th or and above. But I just think if we keep dropping down, because Fulham got a decent result today against West Ham, they have been getting decent results recently. There's a lot of teams around us, like Chelsea, Wolves as well, that could finish above us, because with our running, it is pretty, pretty poor. And the way we've been playing, I can't see us getting many points from our final games. So, it's going to be a real, real tough end to the season. I really hope we don't slip further down to the table. But at the moment, I can't see anything other than that happening.
Also, as well, I just wanted to ask a question because I've seen it banded about a little bit with regards to injuries. Because, look, let's be frank, we had 9 players out injured yesterday. Of course, it's been a huge part of our season, right? We've had a lot of injuries this season. But how far can you go by saying, oh, we can blame... Like, how many more games can you blame it on injury? Because you look at Newcastle, Jack, you've mentioned it. They played a back five, which was arguably like championship level back five yesterday, and they're still beating Spurs 4-0. So I suppose my question to you boys is, do you feel like our injuries are an excuse to keep playing, you know, worse than we did last season or this season, I suppose? Or is it a valid excuse?
I think it's a mixture of both. Of two things, not both, sorry. So I think obviously the injuries play a massive part, I don't think it's a bad excuse. I think it is a good excuse. We've had key players in and out of the team. You know, Pedro, 19 goals this season, albeit a lot from penalties, but there's still goals that he's contributing to. We've had him in and out of the team, arguably one of our players of the season. Matoma, who was one of our players of the season last season, he's never fully recovered from his first injury, I don't think. I think he got an injury early on in the season. He never quite got up and going again. And he did seem to run out of steam. I think we were overplaying players a little bit through necessity. I think Adingra's massively suffered from that. I still think there's a very good player in there. But I remember the Burnley game at the home game further on in the season. And I think he played, you know, in that period he played the full 90 against Athens. He played against Chelsea, played against Brentford, played against Burnley, played against Marseille and played against Arsenal. And you just look at all these games he's playing where ordinarily we would have been able to rotate, especially with the 2 games in a week thing. So I think we suffered a little bit on that side. I think he's run out of steam. I just think players are running out of steam, and maybe the rotating was a good idea in hindsight from De Zerbi at the beginning of the season. But I think, and then I think the other big thing, the massive thing, is that we lost McAllister and Caicedo. And we can blame that because they're a huge part of the way we play. Caicedo and McAllister basically ran our midfield with Grace. So to not have them two is a massive, massive loss. And I think I understand why the club didn't fully replace probably Caicedo, because I think the market for DMs was quite poor. But I think that's just one of the realities of the situation when you sell a big player like that. You're going to have to adjust without them. And I think we maybe haven't adjusted as well as we should.
Also, I don't know, I think, we can blame it on injuries a lot, but even still with the team that we fielded against Burnley, I think we definitely should have won that still.
Yeah, see, I thought it was really strong.
Yeah, with the players we had. I mean, it wasn't our strongest, obviously, we know that, but it's definitely strong enough to beat Burnley. No offence, but completely all offence and have fun in the championships next season, Burnley. But that is, it just, we definitely should be. And then you can beat, I don't know, can you blame De Zerbi from the way we played potentially as well yesterday? I just think so many players, I don't know if this comes down to De Zerbi, but so many players, like we said, just weren't taking shots. I think the bit at the end with Lallana summed it up completely, like passing it around the box. Lallana's got a great chance to shoot, and he doesn't. He tries threading it through the 96th minute or whatever it was. I was thinking, are you joking? Everyone in the stand was livid with him. Especially, I don't know how long he played, but I felt like it was only 10 minutes. I saw him make one bursting runner. That's the quickest I've ever seen him try to run anyway. And then he was like limping off the pitch afterwards. And I think maybe he does need to retire soon.
He's done a Saka.
He's done a Saka. He's a very good player. We know that for sure, but if you're that knackered after like a 15-minute, 10-minute spell on the pitch, I don't know, it's tough. Maybe he's unfit. A lot of the players that are unfit. I don't know. I just think we do have a lot of injuries, but there are still teams that you can beat with the players that we had.
I think Ben just brought up a very good point there, which was rather than injuries, maybe it's fitness, which is a problem. I don't know whether it's the player's actual injury record, which is causing the problems, or whether it's the fact that players are just unfit, as you can tell with some other players.
We got the train going tunneling in the back. No, it's fine. That's a good point. To be fair, with the fitness, was it Alexa.
Yeah, it was that woman who works for Amazon. But I've just realised that what I've probably done to activate that, which is quite funny, is the first name of our former player called McAllister has probably activated that device. So there you go. That's quite funny.
I got you.
That
makes sense. I quickly though, Maz, I just want to add, go on to the injuries thing. Yeah. My mate Brett sent me a screenshot from an article, I think it was a Telegraph, saying that Brentford are having doing a investigation in themselves to see why they've got so many injuries. It was like an emergency inquiry or something like that about why they've got so many injuries, why there's a crisis there. Like, can we please do the same? Because I don't remember hearing too much about Burnley's injury crisis, but maybe it's because I support Brighton, but I feel like ours is far worse than a lot of teams, especially Brentford. Like, it'd be great to know why all these players, like even in Ciso, he came off against Arsenal in the 55th minute or something like that, didn't he? And then
he mentioned about having fluid in his knee, I think. With Enciso, I think it was just, he had like fluid in his knee, so it was like just a little precautionary one, I think. It wasn't necessarily like an actual injury. It's a weird one with all that. And I think just to finally go back to your point, Ben, on Lallana. Thank you for the memories, mate, but it's time to go. No, look, he's been fantastic for us. And I think, unfortunately, his legs are gone. And he's a brilliant player to have around the squad. He's great in terms of leadership roles.
And manager.
As a coach, unbelievable. I just don't think he's got it anymore, unfortunately. He just doesn't have the legs. Sometimes as well, usually his decision-making is one of his best assets. And, you know, at times in the beginning of the season, he actually proved to be a really great asset for us, especially, the earlier of the season. But I just feel like now, his legs are proper gone now. And it is time just to sort of just take a back step and just be a coach or, you know, do what you need to do behind the scenes.
Because,
players like Buonanotte and, you know, all these up-and-coming players need to just get more minutes. And I suppose they are, but, you know, maybe give it to someone else that could use the minutes, I suppose.
Yeah, this is... I don't want to be rude, but I absolutely want Lallana to stay at the club for as long as possible. Because I think, like you said, his knowledge and his potential as a manager or coach is incredible. Like, I'd love for him to stay at the club or be our future manager one day. But yeah, maybe as a player, his time is up. It's an interesting point you quickly made about the young players. I found it bizarre, but maybe it just gave me an answer that I wanted an answer to. That Barco didn't warm up when Estupiñán got injured. Only Igor did, thinking, like, I thought Barco might be a left-back option, but clearly not. So maybe De Zerbi does only see him as a winger. I know maybe he's not got the physicality for a left-back, but it's a strange one.
I think Barco as a left-back is a bit of a... I wouldn't say like a full thing, but I think when you look at where he's played recently recent games for Boca Juniors before he came over, he wasn't really playing left back. He was playing more as a central midfielder or a wide player. So I do think there is a lot of truth in that he started at a left back, but in reality, he's not really a left back. I don't know. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you would obviously think that maybe he'd come on, but maybe he just doesn't trust him. I don't know. I do think some of the questions, the decisions from the manager, I'm questioning a little bit. Not that much, but they are some strange ones.
Bring in Adam McDonald from Eastbourne Town, mate. Adam McDonald, Jude McDonald. Sorry, I completely butchered that.
Yeah, I was going to say, Adam's our co-host sometimes.
He'll do a better job.
But just quickly, Jack, I think deservedly, we definitely have to have a chat. I think we're sometimes scared as fans, I suppose, for someone who's done so much for us in De Zerbi. Look, we can be grateful. We can always... I think he's a great manager still. I'm not saying he's a bad manager. But I think there are question marks over him. And I don't think it's unfair for us to say that as Brighton fans. I think he's definitely... You know, because the fact... So the reason why I'm saying all this is because he's been linked with some big jobs. Liverpool, namely, being one of them. I know he's been linked back with some jobs in Italy as well. Now... For me personally, for those top jobs, I personally don't think he's ready for that. As Jack's just touched on, I think sometimes he's naive in terms of his substitutions. I think sometimes he's naive in his the way he sets up. Roma being a prime example, playing three at the back and then at 4-0 down, changing it to a back four. And, you know, there's certain moments in the season where I thought, was that the right thing to do? Is that, you know, some of the personnel changes and swaps he's done. There are a few question marks throughout the season. And I suppose that's a good thing because, you know, that means there's room for growth and he's going to get better. And, you know, he's only been with us for nearly two seasons now. So he's still got a lot to learn, in my opinion. And I think he'll be a massive grave error on his part if he was to leave us to try and go for these bigger jobs. But look, I think what he's done is incredible up at this point. And fingers crossed with some investment, which Tony Bloom's come out in public. He said that he's going to invest big as well. Hopefully we can invest in the right areas and hopefully De Zerbi can actually kick us on from what we did last season. We can sort of write this season off a little bit and just go try and kick on from season before.
Mm. It was, I've definitely heard a few people kind of getting fed up with De Zerbi and maybe a lot more open to him leaving rather than him being desperate for him to stay. Jack, where are you on that sort of
I just situation? Think people want De Zerbi sacked and just reactionary nonsense that is.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's
yeah.
Like, you know, I think it's reactionary. I think it's, yes, we've had a few bad games, but we've obviously done very well to still be in touch with Europe is a really good achievement. I think looking at the idea that If De Zerbi leaves at the end of the season, like he could possibly well do, he will have overseen our two of our highest ever finishes. So I think there's no doubt that he's a very, very good manager. And that Potter season where he finished ninth, even then, we were 13th at half-time. So there wasn't much between it, really, between ninth. This season, it's looking like it could be a similar end to the season. So I think if we do finish something like 13th, I don't think it's the end of the world, because of how in touch we would still be with the rest of the pack. The positions don't mean that much, really, other than a couple of million quid extra. For me, though, I think in terms of De Zerbi leaving, look, I think he's still got a lot to learn. I agree with a lot of what Maz said. If he wants to move on to these top clubs, he needs to learn some of this stuff. I think he's trying to fit a lot of square pegs and round holes at the moment to try stop the rot and keep formations going. You know, ideally he wouldn't have the options of, you know, Igor and Veltman as his fullback, because that's not how he likes to, but that's what he's been forced to do. I don't know. It's a hard one to decide, really. Definitely shouldn't go. I think he needs to stay in the summer and hopefully get a bit of investment. I think as well, like the idea of getting Europe two seasons in a row, which I think I said to you, Ben, on Saturday, getting Europe two seasons in a row is very difficult unless you have serious investment.
Yeah. Like Wolves.
Like, you know, you look at teams who have also done it. I think Wolves did it twice, but then they did have a lot of
they
investment
were backed.
At the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They were backed like to the hilt. You know, Aston Villa, they haven't spent silly money this season, but they still spent like 70 million more than what they sold, which is a lot more than what we spent.
Yeah. Well, they spent 55 million on Diaby, for example.
Yeah, exactly. So they've spent money. I think, yeah, at the end of the day, I think we've done a really good job to get to Europe, probably ahead of plan as well with where we were as a club. I don't think we were, if you would have planned out, you know, we want to get top 10, we want to do this, we probably wouldn't be straight into Europa League straight away. That wouldn't be part of the plan. So to do that ahead of schedule, it's not too bad to take a little step backwards. I think we're always going to take a step backwards every now and then now when you're at this top level, because, you know, the only way is up until this season. And now to go beyond that, you're looking at really pushing and breaking up the top six.
Yes,
finish
sixth
consistently. So for me, I can't see that being something that will worry the club or De Zerbi, but I just think, yeah, I think we should be quite relaxed about finishing not in Europe this season, because I don't think we were going to do it. This is exactly how I thought the season would go. I thought we'd do really well, but we'd run out of steam just as the season goes on. You look at some other teams like Stoke, and we are staying up now, as I pointed out lots of times on the train, to try cheer everyone up.
Oh, yeah.
As a result of Burnley losing, we are now officially Premier League for a record seventh season, which is something to be celebrated. So yeah, I don't know. I'm very calm at the moment, looking into the future.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I wish I was as well. I do feel a bit disappointed if we do finish low. I know I said it earlier, but I know they don't mean much money-wise, but kind of bragging rights. We don't want to finish below Chelsea after being above them for the majority of the season now, do we? That's the only thing. I do want to mention one bright and positive thing about Burnley. Jack, can you guess what it would be?
No. Oh, and then I go. Great.
Wait, you're back. Can you guess what it will be?
No, I still can't guess what it will be.
Maz, can you guess what it will be?
That you made it back home safe, maybe?
That is true. No, we did do that. But no, Jakob Moda. Jakob Moda. He was nice. Very, very good yesterday. And it was really, really nice to see. And the fans were singing his name quite a lot. Probably the person we sung about the most. Came over and said, clapped at us. And that was another thing. A lot of the players didn't come over and like clap or anything like that. I feel like Dunkey did it, Igor did it, João Pedro done it. They then three gave their shirts
away. Van Hecker did.
Belaba, Van Hecker, Moda came. I hate to name Lallana. No, I hate to name Lallana as well, but he just walked off. Maybe he clapped from a distance, but I didn't see it. He just walked straight down the tunnel. A lot of the players went down the tunnel. Belaba might have come over to give a little clap. Obviously, he was absolutely devastated. His head was in his shirt at the end of at full time. So obviously he felt like he was partly to blame for that goal.
Aside from the mistake from the goal, which you know we all know is quite clearly a mistake, I actually thought he was pretty good.
No, he was.
I thought one of our best players, and he's been good. Yeah, and he's been good for a good period now. So, you know, of course he's going to be disappointed with that mistake, and yeah, it was poor, but. I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, this is all learning curve. And I think Jordan, it is from now until the end of the season. Do you know what I just want to see? It's just us to give it our all. I know it sounds very cliched and very like, you know, football manager kind of vibes. But I just want to see us give it our all. Our players, you know, try and develop the players as much as they can. Give them as many minutes as we can, like the Belabers, maybe the Bonanotes, and Ciso when he's sort of up and running again. Just get them back into the groove of it. And then hopefully we can hit the ground running next season. And, you know, these players are all raring to go, and then hopefully we can kick on and get Europe. So yeah, look, I think we've all accepted now that it's pretty much Europe is a very, very slim, you know, chance of it happening. Yeah. And like the players, yeah, like Moda, Belaba, and all these players, just for the end of the season, just keep, you know, get them operating at a higher level, and then yeah, we can kick on next season. But just going back to your Moda point, he's been fantastic and a really big surprise as well, because we've slagged him off a few times, haven't we?
Well, because we would say slagged him off, but we just said that he isn't good enough. I think we've always given the caveat of like he's never had enough consistency, but I think with us not really needing to fight for anything in the league, let's just play him every game, because he's clearly getting better with the more games he has under his belt, and he could turn out to be a much better player than we thought. The player that we probably thought that we were going to get when we originally signed him, when Bayern Munich wanted him. I say it every time. There's a reason why Bayern Munich must have wanted him and were scouting him. There must be a player in there.
The way they've gone this season, I don't know.
Well, yeah, true. Maybe Moda would have won in the league instead of Harry Kane. But yeah, Jack, what were your thoughts on Moda? And do you think he could be a good player for us if he gets more games under his belt?
Yeah, I think he's a player who's taken a lot of stick, especially when he's injured, which was a weird one. He takes a lot of stick from the usual suspects who just seem to hate us more than they seem to like us playing, which is a bit weird. It seems to get enjoyment out of us losing. Yeah, I think he's done really well since he's come back in. I think he's playing for a contract at the end of the day, or playing for like possibly more involvement next season, which is definitely why I think he's trying to up his performance a bit and show us how good he is. I do agree with what Maz said, that I thought Belaba was one of our better players before he made that massive game, almost game-costing mistake. But if you completely avoid that, he played really well. So, but yeah, no, I think Moda...
That's the most Brighton line I've ever heard in my life. He was our best player apart from that absolute howler he produced.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see, like, what we do in the summer. I do have a feeling that we could be in for some big changes, personnel-wise, as well as possibly managerial. Or maybe De Zerbi will oversee a managerial trade. I don't know. We haven't really had a manager who's had an opportunity to sort of revamp the whole team in his image. It's always been a case of let's work with what we've got, keep the mainstay of the team. So maybe we'll get a big overhaul. I'm not entirely sure. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
I think for me, the most important position next season, in my opinion, is definitely the midfield, of course. Goes without saying. However, right back, I'm sorry, Lamptey, I love you to pieces, mate. But he just can't keep fit, can he? I'm sorry to say it, but he can't keep fit. And I love him as a player and as a person. He seems like a lovely bloke. But you can't rely on a guy who gets injured that much. If you want a consistent right back, and you touched on it earlier, Jack, in terms of Veltman, he doesn't really suit the way De Zerbi wants to play. Again, Veltman, solid player, like great squad player, great player. Actually, you know, most of the times he plays, he drops you a 7 out of 10, like as a minimum. But if De Zerbi does want that sort of overlapping fullback, unfortunately, Joel Veltman is not that guy. And you can't rely on Tarik Lamptey, unfortunately, to play you, however many games there are in a season, especially with Europe as well. If you want to play in Europe, you know, you want to do an FA Cup run and, you know, all these extra competitions. Unfortunately, Tarik Lamptey just isn't going to keep fit. And it's been proven time and time again, as much as we want to believe in his fitness injuries being a thing of the past, it's not. Let's just be real.
I'm not ready to let go.
It's a shame.
I'm not ready to let go.
No, you've got
to. I love him
so much.
You've
got to do it, mate. You've got to do it.
It's a real shame, though.
I know, we all do.
It's a real shame.
We all love him.
It's a real shame because I was, you know, I think I was thinking at the Brentford game, I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, Lamptey's really doing well with his fitness at the moment. We've had quite a few consistent games out of him. I think it was after the Arsenal game and I was going, oh, yeah, he's doing really well at the moment. And then, you know, surprise, lo and behold, he's injured again, so that was quite disappointing. But I do think we need to get a more permanent, solid right back. I think maybe another left back for genuine competition with Purvis. I've already seen this link with a few left backs, so it does look like we're looking. Because Purvis's fall off has been disappointing this season. He's obviously scored a worldie on his return, and he's scored another worldie against Stoke. But since then, he's just not really been doing it for me, anyway.
But we know why, though. It's because Matoma, and he hasn't got a decent left. Yeah. Well, I'd say decent left wing. He hasn't got Matoma pretty much to help him, who he has a great connection with. But I want to quickly go back to Lamptey. If he does go, where does he go? Because what club in the Prem will be, sorry to say, this is, sounds rude, but dumb enough to sign him knowing his injury track record? So why? Yeah, who would actually sign a Tarik Lamptey that's injury prone like that?
I think
maybe a lower end. Because it's less risk, isn't it? Similar to how we did it when we first signed him, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we could have a situation. I think for me, I wouldn't want to sell him because I don't think we'd get much money for him. And having him as an option there is not a bad thing. So to keep him around sort of as an option, definitely not a bad thing. Maybe loan him out to get fitness, but it just doesn't seem like his fitness issues are ever disappearing. I can see him maybe leaving on a free transfer eventually because I can't see a club taking a punt on him. It sounds very disrespectful the way we're talking about him now, and I don't mean that because he can be a fantastic player on his day. But I just think his injury record is making him a bit worrying now. I think Palace have a similar thing with Nathan Ferguson, who they keep on signing up to 1 year deals. Is it Nathan Ferguson? It's something Ferguson. And he just can't keep fit, and there's got to be a point where you sort of jettison them.
Who the hell is Nathan Ferguson, Jack?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Nathan Ferguson.
I've never has he ever played for them?
Like two games. Yeah, he used to be at West Brom.
Yeah, he is real. He is real.
Yeah, they got this guy for a couple of million, and he just hasn't done it for them. Another one with a severe injury record. Another unlocked it from the hive in my mind. So there you go.
I like the idea of keeping him just because he is a good option, and then if he's injured, fine. But just still, like Mass, we get a new right back in, but keep Lamptey just for the vibes and that sort of thing. Just give him money. I like him.
I'm all for it. We do need a permanent right back solution. That's all I'm trying to say. But I love Lamptey, and he's been a great servant to us.
And I every time he comes back, I hope he gets over his injury record. And like I said, against Brentford, I was like, you know what, he's doing a really good bit of fitness. If he's back the next game, maybe we have to worry less, because then that would be one game that only one game he's missed out of the load. So, I mean, I remember his performance down at Marseille. His performance at Marseille was fantastic. He was one of the best players on the pitch.
Yeah.
So, you know, he can perform to high levels when he wants to, but it's fitness, which is just gutting.
I don't think a loan will do anything good, because it will just, he'll probably just get injured on loan, without sounding disrespectful. But I'd like to keep him for as long as possible, and just play him when we can, and when we can't, play someone else, but someone to a decent level anyway. I don't really know what else to talk about Burnley, because it was that much of a horrendous game. I feel like we've managed to talk about quite a fair bit, despite how horrendous the match was.
It's just two howlers, wasn't it, really?
It was. I mean, their goal, I've never seen... That's unfortunate. I said to Jack, actually, I've never seen a goalkeeper take a throw-in until I saw Bart Verbruggen take a throw-in. I thought that's quite cool.
I've seen him take throw-ins before.
What, goalkeepers? Yeah.
I've seen, it's always like in a desperate moment. A really famous one...
Happens all the time in non-league, mate.
No. A really famous goalkeeper throw-in. Here we go. Now we'll get to goalkeeper throw-ins. One of the most famous goalkeeper throw-ins I remember was Joe Hart took a throw-in just before Aguero scored the winner against QPR in the famous title race game. I'm pretty sure he started the move for the final goal by taking a throw-in.
What, Balotelli-Aguero?
Yeah, Balotelli-Aguero. I'm pretty sure that move was started by Joe Hart throwing. There you go.
Look at that. Full of facts today.
And then I absolute howler from the goalkeeper, which was hilarious and great fun to celebrate.
Yeah, I think that summed up the game in general. That mistake from Muric just encapsulated what Brighton versus Burnley was yesterday. But just quickly, one thing before I forget. There were some murmurs about how people weren't happy, especially on socials, Twitter mainly, of how they weren't happy with De Zerbi's substitutions. Now, not so maybe so much the personnel, but the timings of it, saying it was too late for the time they came on. So, like, I think Antu Fati got, 5-10 minutes, if that? What do we think? Do we think, again, it's going back to the earlier chat we had about De Zerbi's sort of decision-making, but, were you annoyed at the time when those subs, like him making it too late?
I don't know, the hard one to... I have some sympathy with him. De Zerbi on that, because I don't think we were playing badly. Like, we weren't creating much, but it wasn't like one of those things where it was like we need like a dagger to change this game straight away. It was sort of like we're just sort of just passing it around and keeping possession. It wasn't like bringing someone on could massively change that. I do think he was a little late with the subs. It would have been nicer to maybe see some players come on a little bit earlier. It was really nice to see Marco Mahoney get a debut, although he didn't do much with it, admittedly. But, you know, it's very difficult to get thrown into your first Premier League game, and he's a player I've been shouting the praises of after watching him for the under-21s. So it's really good to see him get a chance there. I was a little bit surprised, a little bit disappointed. But I still don't think... I mean, Ansu Fati, as good as he was, has been in the past or whatever, him coming on with his form at the moment doesn't exactly inspire. Like, he's not been great. So it's not a player who he came on, I was like, we desperately need him to change the game, because he hasn't been able to do that so far. And that's probably the most disappointing thing about
it. Is it a confidence thing with him or an ability thing? Because I saw Ryan post a video from the club and it was about his finishing looked incredible.
The training video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just
I feel like they were selling us a dream there.
Yeah.
No, John is with him. I think he's definitely got the ability. Like, I don't think the ability is the question. I think for me, my opinion is that I think it's a factor of keeping fit. Again, he's a very injury prone player. You know, again, he's picking up form for us. Then got injured. Then was out for quite a long spell. And so injuries have killed his career in general. Mm. And then, it's that confidence of playing regularly, week in, week out, with a manager who trusts him, which I think De Zerbi definitely does. I know he praises him a lot when he can. I just think it's with him. He's got bundles of ability. It's just keeping fit and having a run of consistent games where he can show his ability and I suppose playing him in the right position as well, because I think he tinkered with a few bits as well.
This is obviously going to sound quite bitchy, but obviously that's another one of De Zerbi's signings paying off really well after Dahoud being one of his signings and being horrendous. And then obviously we spoke about it earlier, about if we are going to be back this summer with Zerbi, is Bloom going to let him pick any of their players? Because so his decisions haven't really been that successful, have they, Jack?
No, I think we had a little chat about this on the train home, that I think Dahoud and Ansu Fati, if they haven't come from the algorithm, you can tell why. They've not been great. But I don't know. I'd like to see some very clever signings. I think we've got to trust the club with our signings, how they come good. I do think we've got some good players potentially coming back from loan as well.
Undav, baby.
Yeah, if Undav does indeed come back, I'm not entirely sure what the crack is with that. So it'll be interesting to see. I think we're in for a big summer. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that, really. I think it's a season where we can sort of see it out, you know, go to the games, have a beer, relax. I'm looking forward to Newcastle away.
See yourself out as well.
Do you know, it's going to be so nice, yeah.
Yeah, you cut out for us there, Jack. You're probably still gone.
Yeah, he's I think it's a great time to end it, though, Ben, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Note. It's funny because whilst in the outro, he's just going to pop up again. Yeah. There he is. Oh, all right, Jack.
I'm back.
We didn't hear what you said. Yeah, I think people probably still did. I imagine it's still recorded, but we're going to end it there because I think the podcast ended up being just like the Burnley game, to be honest. But we tried our best. We tried our best.
A few more shout outs. So you said there's a couple of things.
We don't cut out. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, a few more that we haven't talked about. Firstly, congratulations to Leverkusen for winning the Bundesliga. That's happened in the last few hours. I know a few Leverkusen fans, so congratulations to them. Really nice lads. And then the other one is shout out to Southport FC for staying up.
Oh, yeah.
One of my mates came up with us on the train, and he was very happy that Southport have got yet another wonderful season in the National League North. So I'm sure they're looking forward to that.
Also as well, shout out to Worthing as well. They secured their promotion
playoffs.
That's the one.
So promotion. Yeah, look, everybody else is doing great. Congrats. Who we sort of half support. Mm. All the other teams that we sort of have a vague interest in are doing really well. So it'll be
Brighton. Take a hint.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to figure out what the caption is. What the title is? Is it "We are staying up" or is it "The season's over"? Pack up your bags.
I think we are staying up. Yeah, let's look positively towards this. I think we are staying up. There's no difference for me. This is my last positive point. There's no difference at the end of the day between finishing, let's say European is seventh and above. Let's say European. Stop laughing.
Right, come on, Ben.
I've cut.
I think
I'm back. Right. I'm sure this is going to sound great. No, for me,
disaster.
When I try to be positive, the internet cuts out, doesn't it? But there's no point. There's no difference between finishing eighth or 17th. You get exactly the same from that. So let's look at it positively and enjoy the rest of the season for what it's worth. I know I will if I don't cut out.
Let's sign off with two things. Yeah, life is a roller coaster, and Jack, what you got to do?
Just got to ride it, man.
And final, football's always the winner.
Yeah.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen,
unless you're Man City and you have loads of money and 115 charges.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.